The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, Contessas. Welcome to the Career Contessa podcast, your shortcut to being more fulfilled, healthy, and successful at work. I'm your host, Lauren McGoodwin. It's been said that it's often not the most qualified person who gets hired, but the best storyteller. But what does that mean? And how can you use storytelling for job search success? Today, we have executive speaker Laura Fravel here to teach you how to become a more effective speaker and storyteller. Oh, and don't forget to take your time to rate, review, and subscribe. A little insider tip, one review equals 1,000 new downloads, and you all have been so fantastic at leaving these reviews, and it's really helped grow our show. So we're so appreciative, and we'd love to see more, 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 because we're greedy and we want that. Okay, and now this is the Career Contessa podcast. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Lauren.
Okay, let's start by having you say who you are, what you do, and then a fun fact, which I actually just got asked this on a panel thing I was doing, which is a TV show or movie that you recently have watched and would recommend.
Thanks. Okay, so, well, I'm Laura Fravel, and I am a communications expert who basically helps coach and train people on what to say and how to say it better. So I do a lot of storytelling, professional narratives, building your brand, as well as how do you speak in front of a team to motivate them, or how do you speak on a stage or on a panel and really get people to listen and engage with you. So,
and what about, your fun fact?
I don't watch tons of TV, so I might be a little behind, but I've been binge watching The Morning Show with Reese Witherspoon.
Yes.
I think it came out in the fall, but
It's a good one. Regardless, if you haven't watched it, highly recommend it's on Apple, everybody. Well, it is kind of funny that the fun fact I asked was about to a speaker was about TV. I should have asked something that was more in line with speaking. Like, who are your favorite public speakers? But, you know,
I come from the world of TV. So The Morning Show is all kind of like the behind the scenes. It's kind of cool in the sense that it shows behind the scenes of, I think, a modern workplace and all the things we don't talk about, which is kind of fascinating. And I also, just an extra layer, come from the world of TV. So it was particularly interesting for me.
What's crazy about your comment is that basically what we're saying is most modern workplaces are a little toxic and manipulative and, you know, like, which is not untrue either, right? Sadly.
Yeah, it makes for good TV.
Exactly. All right. So today we're talking about storytelling. And I was kind of saying that one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is because I think we hear about storytelling all the time as like this skill that you need for success. But I'm like, we need more meat to the bones, because storytelling feels like a great word, but what does it tangibly mean, and how can we actually apply it to our careers and use it in the workplace? So we'll get into all that, but let's start with, from your point of view, what does storytelling mean, and why is it so important? Why do we always see this in like roundups of successful people and things like that?
Oh, storytelling is just so powerful. And I mean that in a really authentic way, when we use it in a very authentic way. So story is what gives us, like, it enables us to be remembered more and our value remembered more. It's what gives us more influence. It's just honestly what can create your most powerful voice, most powerful impact in what you do and what you want to be doing, fulfilling. It's in our, like, stories are in our human DNA. We can go back to humans living in caves, and there's cave drawings, all the way to current neuroscience, which shows how the brain reacts to stories. It lights up in all of these ways that don't when we just hear facts and information, which releases oxytocin, which develops trust. Yes, I can geek out on the science even just behind how powerful stories are.
I would love to hear some of the science, because I was thinking, like, what's the opposite of storytelling? You kind of said like a bunch of facts or data, or like, I think about it in the content world, like a listicle is different than someone who tells the story of how they learn this tool. But yeah, like, what does the science say about storytelling and why it works so well?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's a lot that's come out just in the past 10 years, even, about, kind of like I was saying, when we hear facts and information, there's a very distinct part of the brain that lights up. I think it's like two parts of the brain. When we hear stories, because it engages our visual, as well as audio, as well as logical thinking, as well as emotional, it's like almost our whole brain lights up. And I think the biggest part is what I just mentioned. Our body then releases oxytocin, which is that kind of connection bonding hormone. So there's even been studies when people are presenting or speaking, they've monitored the brains of the audience, and the brains of the audience start to mimic that of the speaker.
Interesting.
So this connection happens, and we make decisions as humans through our emotional part of our brain, not the logical part of our brain.
I will also say, when I've done speaking gigs, when I am using a story to kind of outline the format of my talk, it's easier than it is trying to like memorize data. And so maybe there's a part of that that also comes out way more calm and collected. And I absolutely understand what you mean about the emotional component. I remember I listened to Stacey Abrams do a talk. This is actually in like, must have been 2019. It was like right before the pandemic. And it like, I still remember this talk because she told such good stories along with it. And the reason why I bring that up is because I was just at a conference where I was thinking, oh, the last time I was at this conference, like I listened to Stacey Abrams. And so again, just like thinking about the fact that that still sticks with me, like almost 5 years later, is wild.
We remember things 22 times more when it's wrapped in a story than just like facts and information alone.
I believe that 100%, which is actually why this is a good topic for people who are in the workplace, because you probably want people to remember what you're saying. But before we get into, again, the kind of the details, what makes someone's story good, or, you know, what makes someone or something a good story?
Well, there's the structure we've all heard, the beginning, middle, and end. You know, there's kind of the situation or challenge and the climax and a takeaway. So I think there always kind of has to be that arc. But I think, you know, when we're talking about our personal stories and narrative, professional narratives, it has to have an emotional component. And I don't mean you have to divulge, you know, your deepest, darkest secrets or challenges.
You have to start crying.
No, I think it's more just about this tension that's been overcome or that you faced. I think also you need to bring out authenticity and your personality. I think if we're sitting with a group of friends, that's all we do is tell stories. That's it. And we're very much ourselves. But somehow when we walk in the work professional door, we kind of put on this facade that we have to be perfect, credible, authoritative sometimes, and we lose the human part of us. So I think in a professional sense, it's really important to bring out the human aspect.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's talk about that, because I think often in a job search, telling a compelling story is more important than being sometimes the most qualified person in the room. Like I've definitely have seen this happen where the most qualified people or person didn't get the job because someone else was better at conveying and telling their story. So I guess, you know, why is that? I guess we've already kind of talked about why it was maybe more compelling they remember it. But how can we become that person, in especially in the job search process right now? I think so many people are, it's competitive, it's tight, it's not normal job market.
Absolutely. And I think it is those people who are telling stories that are getting noticed, because anybody can talk about, oh, I'm good at budgets and strategic planning. But it's those who actually tell a story of how they applied or the impact that those skills brought are really the ones who I think stand out. So, and I can give you, I had a recent client who was up for a really big promotion, and she had to go through the whole interview process, just like outside candidates. And it was, you know, some of the things that were coming at her were, well, what are your weaknesses? Or what do you still need to improve? Which, you know, we all hate that question. And we know we should be vulnerable. But she was dealing with a pretty big position, high level position. And she's like, well, I'm not really that good at big budgets. And I was like, no, don't say that. Think of it as not a weakness, but a strength with room for improvement. So, and instead of just saying, well, I haven't dealt with many big budgets, say, while I've dealt with $500,000 budgets in my current role, and I've really mastered that, I'm ready to now take on cross-departmental $2 million budgets. So like, tell the story of where you were or where you're at. You know, it's not zero, $500,000, $500,000 budgets, and tell the story of where you want to go and you're excited about going.
Yeah. It's like you can visualize that in your head too.
Yeah. I had another client who, I think we tend to use a lot of jargon, especially in certain positions. There was another client who She had her whole bio describing her as, and I'm not even sure if I can remember it, senior rewards director across Asia, Americas, and Europe. And it was so many acronyms, I had no idea what she was even talking about. So that's the other thing about making it more human. And she changed it completely up. By the end, we had her saying, I'm not your typical compensation benefit director. This is like in the HR realm in a big corporation. I've worked in 40 countries across the globe, and I'm oddly passionate about it. You know, I believe that if a company doesn't get their rewards, their compensation, you know, program correct, this is what will happen. So it's really showing up more human, showing some of your passion. Where are you? Where do you want your career to go? That's the other big thing, is we tend to tell the story of where we've been and the career we've had, instead of focusing on the career where we want to go and how our past experience supports where we want to go.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. We focus so much on, here's all the amazing things I've done in the past, which is why you should hire me. And that can be, I think, very intimidating for people who maybe don't have that past experience. And maybe this is the whole comment about, like, sometimes the most qualified person doesn't get the job is because they're very focused and relying on their past versus the future of them and their future potential. So that's a really good point. What is your process? Like, if someone's working with you, you mentioned you have some clients, what's your, I guess, without telling us everything, obviously, but what is your process for becoming a more effective storyteller? Is there, you know, a 1-2-3-step process we can follow? Like, what does that look like?
I think that the most powerful thing, and talking kind of in the, again, the professional sense of telling your professional story, job searching, wanting that promotion, making sure your supervisors know your value. I think the number one best exercise you can do is write down your skills and experience, you know, put in one column, you know, what you're great at. And then in the next column, think of a story that exemplifies that you can tell.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm great at developing creative campaigns. Okay. What's one time that you did that, or even were a part of a team that did that? You know, it doesn't have to be incredible, high achieving, reaching accomplishments if you're at the beginning start of your career.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about, you know, we often tell people to keep a smile file, like keep a list of achievements. You could start keeping your list of achievements and then, you know, create another column wherever you're doing this and like include the story that goes with it. I often find, I think, especially when you're job searching or trying to pitch yourself for a promotion, you can very easily draw a blank. You're like, I have no stories. I haven't done anything. Like, this is the first reaction, right? And so I was doing something the other day, and we actually have an article on Career Contessa. I'll put it in the show notes. And it's all about the power of story circles and how you can actually create one story circle and it turns into 6 or 7 different stories. And so I think that's also what you're saying, is like, try to think of a few stories because they can actually be used in a lot of different ways. And oftentimes it's so easy to forget when you reach into your pocket to try to find the story. So maybe we start telling people as part of your smile file, also start keeping a list of really good stories. I love to always tell the story of how, so we have something on our website called the Salary Project, and it's an anonymous salary database. And when it went live, we had already had something a little bit before that, but when it went live, it basically broke the website because it was mentioned on Good Morning America. But the story of how we got mentioned on Good Morning America that I love to tell is, I barely got this meeting with Rebecca Jarvis. She's a big time Good Morning America anchor. I was on my way to the airport. They said, you have 15 minutes. I turned the car back around. I wasn't driving. I was in an Uber in New York. But anyway, he got me there. I was like, just wait. It's going to be 15 minutes. I gave her the information. I pitched her on it. She said, maybe she'll mention it on Monday. I was like, so thankful. I almost missed my flight. I've never ran through the airport so quickly in New York. I definitely like shaved years off my life. I was so stressed, but she mentioned it on Monday and it broke our website. And I always tell this story because, and the reason why, I just remember it so well, mostly because I was sweating so much, but also I remember it so well because it's like, it has emotion, it has a storyline, it has the challenge, it has this happy ending. And I'll be honest, that one's really easy to recall, but I have a bunch of stories that are smaller than that. Obviously, they can't all be that big, that are hard to remember at times. And so I like your tip about, like, start by writing down, and maybe you go down the job description, you think about, okay, this is the responsibility or the strength they're asking for. Now try to think of an example, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because that's the whole thing is we don't, I think it's so natural to us when we're sitting around with a group of friends having a glass of wine or drinking coffee. And it's just the stories flow, but we don't take the time to think of the stories in our professional life that really exemplify what we've done, where we've come. We also tend to focus on the negative things. We tell stories a lot of the bad things or toxic things. So we don't spend enough time thinking about those positive stories. And those are the ones we want to, you know, quote unquote, brag about and share.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking, again, as it relates to sort of people job searching, what if you have been laid off? And maybe like I just saw someone on LinkedIn who said they've been laid off twice in 1 year, which is like incredibly heartbreaking. And we are in the weirdest, worst job market. But what advice would you give to a person who's been laid off twice in 1 year about the story they're telling about their career right now?
Let's see. So normally the advice I give if someone's been laid off, this is a little different though, but normally if they've been laid off, especially if they've been in a position for, you know, over a year, 2 years, 3 years more, is I love my, you know, again, there's a little bit of story. I so enjoyed my job. I thrived in it, loved my colleagues, or, you know, whatever the situation, focus on that positive part. Both I and my company recognize that I've outgrown it. And there wasn't room for me to, with the reorg or budget cuts, or you don't even have to say that. It's just the budget or opportunity wasn't there for me to grow further. And I'm super excited to now meet that next challenge and position in a new position. Someone who's been laid off twice in 1 year, I guess it depends on the circumstances of the second layoff and what industry. I mean, nowadays being laid off isn't nearly as stigmatized as it used to be. Our workplace is in such turmoil. You know, there's some opportunities. Sometimes you just leave out that last position if it was a really short one.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing is people feel like they need to tell everything they've done, all the experience they've done, all the positions they've had. And really, it's kind of like a TV show. Like if it doesn't meet that storyline that goes through, so you can have all these side stories and cool information, but if it's not supporting your main through line of where you want to go, then why tell it?
I've said this advice on the podcast before, but I love the advice that Dave Fano, he's the founder of Teal, says, which is show the 10% of you that's 100% relevant to that person.
Yes.
Whether it's your resume or in a job interview. And also using your analogy of like a TV, like there are seasons in a TV show, you know, and it's like, forget seasons 1 through 3. You're in season 4 now. Like focus on season 4. Like I like that we're using all these visual cues and maybe a way for us to think about it. Like the main characters change and like your role has changed, but now you're in season 4 of your life and your career. And what is that going to look like? And what's that storyline?
Which is super applicable. I know you also work with people who are pivoting in their career. And it's okay. Don't tell the story of where you've been. Tell the story of where you want to go and the experience and expertise you have that supports that new direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the trying to figure out your next career move is so challenging for people because also this is a good topic. Let's talk about the stories you tell yourself, right? So there's a lot of stories that we tell ourselves that are probably not totally true, but how does that impact us? And if there's some science behind, you know, what you're telling yourself.
Yeah, I give a whole talk all about the stories we tell ourselves, which some of them are even inherited from when we're a kid and society and gender and the workplace of how we're supposed, you know, supposedly supposed to show up. So yeah, really looking at what story am I telling myself of what I'm capable of, what experience I have, does it actually align with where I want to go? And if it's not serving me, well, let's start writing a new story to tell yourself and then hence tell the world. Because the stories you're telling yourself are the stories you're telling the world.
Yeah, because it's like your brain doesn't know the difference between a real story that happened or the story you're telling yourself, right? So you might as well, you know, trick your brain into believing the future or like, or wherever you're trying to get to. I heard that on someone's podcast. They were like, the stories you tell yourself are so important because your brain doesn't know the difference. So if you're telling your brain, I'm a failure, or it's repeating the story of like, I'm not good enough, I'm a failure, your brain starts to believe that as being true, even if one, that's not true, versus telling yourself like, that didn't go as planned, but I'm still an amazing public speaker. That wasn't my best talk, but I'm still great. People are still going to hire me. People still want to work with me or whatever it is, right?
Exactly. And the other big thing is a lot of people, they know where they want to go. Like I had a client who wanted to work, who wants to work for the 2020, 2024, yeah, Olympics in Paris. And it's, well, if you don't put it out there, how are you going to get it?
Yeah.
There's also really, it sounds so simple, but people really hesitate in putting out into the world what they don't have yet.
Yeah. Superstition, right?
Yeah. But if you don't put it out there, if you don't elevate your voice, I think especially in our world nowadays where we consume, I think it's something like 10 times more information than just 10 years ago. There's, you know, AI, anybody can sound like an expert with AI. Like yeah. you can write a great speech, social posts, and sound like an incredible expert. But what's going to get you noticed is those stories.
Yeah.
It's your personality. It's your own personal perspective.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about the AI part, but you're totally right. The one thing that AI doesn't have on all of us is the human aspect of storytelling. Okay, Laura, as we wrap up, I'm just so curious, what are maybe your top pet peeves with public speaking? Is it using your hands too much? Like, what are some of your biggest pet peeves so all of us can keep this in mind next time we're doing presentations?
Well, a few things people come to me most with is, yes, filler words, ums, uhs. They talk to feel like they talk too fast or babble. And the number one tip, which I know we've heard before, is the power of the pause. But I don't think people realize how much it solves is, I think, my fascination. So the ums and uhs, if you start to bring awareness to them and just pause instead, it's huge. It eliminates those. And there's certain techniques and tricks you can do to practice that. And then talking too fast, again, it's if you pause. So I can be super, you know, talking too fast isn't a bad thing. I can talk super fast because I'm super excited. But if I pause, it gives the reader a chance to like catch up. It gives emphasis. It gives an air of confidence that you're okay sitting with a moment. So that is probably the number one biggest thing one can practice to really show up more confident in speaking.
Yeah, I learned that with salary negotiations. I learned very early on to make my ask and then be quiet, pause, because I would just start talking because I was so nervous. I like wanted to fill all the space. And so now I'm like, okay, one of the biggest power moves you can do is pause, just pause and like give them some space. So, well, I have really enjoyed this conversation. Laura, where can people find you, follow you, learn more about what you do?
My website, laurafravel.com, but I'm also, I hang out on LinkedIn a lot. So
same. All right. Well, we'll put a link to both your LinkedIn and your website in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Career Contessa podcast. Don't forget to take your time to rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're on the job search and you need help with your strategy, stories, and search, look no further than the Job Search Academy, our online course with step-by-step instructions and an interactive workbook to get you on your way faster and quicker to your ideal job. I link to it in the show notes.